Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And there arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which is devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils, and how he was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, that is Christ, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Supposing you heard the words, Lord Jesus, get out of here. You're not welcome. This is not your church, it's ours. Get out. Get out, Lord Jesus. Get out of our lives. We can manage our own affairs and we don't need you. Get out. With your Bibles open at Luke chapter 8 this morning, and especially verse 37, where the Bible says, Then the whole multitude besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. You know, there comes a time in every church and every Christian when Jesus Christ is not welcome. That is, in the sum total of what his person means and involves. Many churches and Christians resist the authority and the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, by God's grace, I want you to look at this incident recorded in Luke 8, where there are three things which I believe are very relevant to our present age and our own lives. Firstly, disorder in this community for which Christ came. Think of that. Things were not right. It was a community that was uneasy about many matters. And as I look at Christ on this occasion, I see that he was concerned with the helplessness of this maniac, this demon-possessed man. And we read in verse 27 that there met him outside the city a certain man that had devils a long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tomb. Mark's account in his gospel says, Neither could any man tame him. But always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, cutting himself with stones. And Matthew, in his account, says, No man might pass that way. Now, here was a man whose life was enslaved to evil, and that enslavement and helplessness constituted a threat to the community. Things haven't changed. He was not only constantly hurting and damaging himself, but he was liable to hurt others. His life was dominated by forces that some men seemed powerless to stop. The Bible says no man could bind him, not with chains. Now, our Lord's first concern was with the helplessness of this man that was threatening the community, this man that was hurting himself and liable to hurt others. Isn't this very up to date? Because it is people like this man who make it uneasy for every community and every church. We live in an age of wonder, but it is also an age of worry. What is the good of man conquering space if he cannot conquer sin? We wonder what will happen to our children growing up in this age. What will happen to our home life as we once knew it? What will happen to the church and to the whole Christian pattern and standard of living? Beloved, this threat of untamable and uncontrollable evil is a desperately urgent and ever-present one. No man could tame him. Christ was concerned with this element of disorder in the life of the community to which he had come. There's the sheer helplessness of this man. I don't know whether you know anything of the ache of that, the hurt. I had 5 phone calls this week from people outside the church with problems who go to other churches, charismatic. And I said, why don't you go to your own pastor? They said he doesn't understand. Well, I don't know what he's doing as a pastor if he doesn't understand spiritual warfare. One man rang me because his 15-year-old daughter was seduced by a Satan worshiper. He broke down and wept on the phone, and he said, what do I do? And I said, well, I don't normally do it, but we'll pray. His daughter returned home late this week, but her life absolutely damaged.
You see, this man was enslaved, and the hurt that he was doing to himself is only ever known by those who have been that way. But I look at Christ and I see that he was first and foremost concerned with the helplessness of this man. But he was also concerned about something else that confronted him. He was concerned with man's willfulness. Although this region of Decapolis was one of mixed race and religion, the historian Josephus tells us that those involved in this incident with the herd of swine were Jews. Updated, they were Christians. And that being so, they were deliberately disobeying the law of their God. And for reasons which most people do not understand, the pig was an unclean beast and no Jew was allowed to have anything to do with it. And yet here were Jews openly and deliberately disobeying their God. And in their disobedience, making money from that which was unclean and forbidden. Perhaps their distance from Jerusalem made them feel they could get away with it. Or was it possibly that the pagan environment around them made them feel it would be all right? Others did it, why shouldn't we? No wonder these Jews were uneasy in the presence of God's Son. There was a spiritual and moral disorder running right through the lives of many in this community. And I wonder if I am right in suggesting that today we are living in an age when the distinction between the Christian and the pagan are becoming increasingly blurred, and that basically there is a principle of disobedience to the Lord and a conformity to the world that is having some strange results in our community, and dare I say it, also in the church. Christ is not simply concerned with our hopelessness, but with our willfulness. Is the Christian and the Christian church not living as close to God as they once did? I wonder if this is because of the distance between us and Jerusalem. Oh my, there is disorder. Disorder through man's helplessness, which is obvious. But there is disorder through man's willfulness, which to the average person is less clearly discerned, but does not escape the Lord Jesus Christ. Here before us in Holy Scripture, we see the disorder of life, but we see the ordering hands of Christ. And I wonder whether we really want His ordering hands. That is, his hands that point in every direction, revealing his authority. Oh, yes, there was disorder through man's helplessness and man's willfulness, but there was also a disturbance. It was into this scene of disorder and confusion that Christ came, and wherever Christ comes, the whole scene changes. Christ came and changed the whole picture because of the dual capacity in which he was presented. And I want to reveal to you today, by God's grace, what actually happened. First of all, Christ's adequacy is seen. The enslavement of this man to evil was broken. And nothing surer than this, that the power of Christ is adequate to cope with all the forces of evil in the human heart. We believe, surely, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Surely we believe that when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that he was stating the truth. We believe it to be true that in all things we are indeed more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible tells us that when the Gadarene folk came out to Christ, they saw the man that was possessed with the devil sitting clothed in his right mind. I don't know whether you really understand what that verse of Scripture means, but a psychiatrist knows what it means. Beloved, the adequacy of Jesus Christ to deal with our hopelessness is indisputable. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. Oh yes, he is able to set the captive free. This was the purpose of his coming. The Bible says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the adequacy of Christ to deal with our hopelessness and willfulness is the truth of the gospel. If he came to this church today, I wonder what he would have to deal with first. Either the helplessness of man or the willfulness of man. If he cannot save you from your temper, then what kind of a savior have you to offer the world? If he cannot save you or me from thoughtlessness or selfishness, from unreliability, from jealousy and envy, what kind of a savior is he? He is no savior at all. You see, the whole testimony of the Bible and the New Testament gospel is that he is able to save. And Christ's adequacy to deal with this man's helplessness is revealed before us today in Holy Scripture. Also, these people of the community were confronted with a power that was greater than any human power. And beloved, nothing is more needed today than this kind of testimony to the power of Christ. As these people saw the man sitting clothed in his right mind, they were afraid. They were disturbed. Oh my, when the holiness of Christ walks into our midst today, many people are afraid and they are disturbed. And most of them are professing Christians. Beloved, the principle here is simply this. Not only is Christ's adequacy seen, but Christ's authority is sensed. These men who heard the story of the deliverance of the maniac and the disappearance of the herd of swine instinctively linked the deliverance of the maniac with the loss of their limb. Isn't this what a lot of Christians do? Now, if it had been just a matter of Christ removing the threat to their safety by healing the demoniac, all that would have been all right. Christ would have been welcome. But when Christ started to interfere with their way of life and their means of livelihood, this would never do. When Christ started challenging them on the question of their total obedience to the Lord God, they didn't want that. And they panicked and they tried to seize him. You see, sin can be very uncomfortable when it is confronted by Christ. But sin isn't just something that is uncomfortable. Sin can be sociable. Sin can also be profitable. Let us face it, there are certain sins we don't want to be saved from. There are certain areas in our lives that we don't want Christ to interfere with. It is the Lordship of Christ That's the problem, isn't it? But Christ is not simply concerned with our hopelessness. He wants to deal with our willfulness. That is, those areas of our lives concerning which we are willful. It may be in the realms of business. Someone once said that sin pays and pleases, and it's true. Many people want Christ to deal with the sins that are inconvenient to them, but if Jesus Christ is going to permeate their lives and so exercise His adequacy and authority, He is going to make them different from other people, is He not? But many people are saying, no, thank you, get out! Get out of the church! We don't want you! Get out of our lives! I don't want to be different, they say. Are you prepared to just experience the saving power of Jesus Christ and His adequacy in those areas of your life which are disturbing and distressing you, and not accept His authority as Lord of your life, your total life? I believe that this is the crux of our problems today, both in the community and in the church. We all want to be saved from certain sins, but we don't want Jesus Christ to be Lord of our lives. You see, Jesus Christ must be Lord of our lives, Lord of our money, Lord of our time, Lord of our relationships. And there are so many of us like that would-be disciple who once said to Christ, Lord, I will follow Thee, but, Lord, but. How many professing Christians there are who deliberately and willfully reject Jesus Christ being Lord of their whole life? Just recently I had someone say to me, I don't believe in membership. I said, what you are really saying is, you don't want to come under the authority of the local church of which I'm the pastor. That sort of nailed their colors to the mast, didn't it? Because that's what they were saying. You're not under my authority. You are in the sense that I'm the pastor teacher, but you are under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and of whom I am His servant. And I will preach the Bible whilst ever I have breath to preach it. And if you squirm in the pew, you squirm. If the cap fits, wear it. Do you remember Peter the Apostle having the same struggle as many people have? On the rooftop of Simon the tanner's house, Peter heard the voice of God say, rise and eat, Peter! And Peter said, not so, Lord! Well, any grammarian will tell you that those three words present a contradiction. You cannot say Lord and at the same time say not so. Is there any area of your life in which the Lordship of Christ is not wanted? Could it be that you don't want to be disturbed? And certainly you're a long way from Jerusalem. I like to stay very close to Jerusalem, personally. Did you know that the most disturbing person you could ever meet is Jesus Christ? The Bible now says that the whole multitude besought Him to depart from them. Here, beloved, is what I like to say and see in the Scripture as an inexcusable tragedy. Let me give you the sheer bluntness of it from the Greek. They told Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to get out. Get out of our community! Get out of our lives! And I wonder how many professing Christians and churches and communities have told Christ Jesus, the Son of God, bluntly, to get out. Well, now the Bible tells us that Christ got out at that point in time. You know, I always remember the story I used to tell on the road as an evangelist about Zambo. He was crying one night, and the Lord came to him. And he said, oh, Zambo, he said, what's wrong? And Zambo said, but he said, Lord, he said, I've been going upstairs to that church on the hill for a long time. And he said, I do desperately really want to be a member of that church. But, oh, Lord, he said, they don't want me because I'm black. He said, they don't want me, Lord. And the Lord put His arms around him, and he said, oh, Zambo, he said, don't cry. He says, I've been trying to get into that church for years and they don't want me on.
What a staggering, shameful act. These people said to Christ, get out. And he went. And oh my, this tragedy was inexcusable. But there is something beautiful before us now, and I have seen this beautiful illustration in so many places in my travel. Oh yes, Jesus Christ went, but the man whom Christ healed and set free remained. Have you ever wondered why Christ said to him, you will stay here? Oh yes, let us get rid of Christ. Let us tell him to get out like these people did. But beloved, what these people could not dispute and what any church or any community cannot dispute is the testimony that is inescapable. Did you hear me? Give me a demon-possessed person. Give me a drug addict. Give me a hopeless alcoholic who have been transformed by the adequacy and the authority of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you where the Lord has been. Did the Lord Jesus ever come back? Oh, yes, he did. There is no question in my mind that Christ left this man behind in order that this man might prepare the way for him to come again. And the man went all over Decapolis telling the people what Christ had done for him. His transformed life was such a testimony that when later on we read in Matthew chapter 15 of Christ coming back again and having gone to Tyre and Sidon and coming then down through the coast of Decapolis, we find the great multitudes came to hear Christ. Then we read that after they had seen all that Christ had been able to do, they welcomed him. They glorified the God of Israel. Would you not agree that the community and the church needs to regain the testimony of Christ's adequacy and Christ's authority? And it can only be done through lives who have been set free and who claim Jesus Christ as Lord. Beloved, my heart is heavy this year as I present this truth to you today. I'm going to warn you that this is going to be one of the years when I am going to return to the old faithful preaching that God gave me many, many years ago. You are going to be uncomfortable under the Word of God. You are going to be uncomfortable under the searchlight of the Holy Spirit. You are going to be uncomfortable until Christ is Lord. Did you hear me? You may be a person who doesn't mind Christ dealing with your help. In fact, you want to get rid of those things that hurt you and that hurt others. Yes, you want to get rid of the discomfort of it all. But if Jesus Christ is going to insist that you cannot be the same as the world, and this is going to affect your pocket, then surely your attitude to Christ is, get out, Christ, I don't want. If this be so, then remember who it is you're dismissing. You're telling Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of glory, to get out of your life. That is what you are doing. And the supreme tragedy of your life is if you persist, Christ will go. He will get out of your life. He'll get out of the church. You really want him to go? Or do you want to welcome Christ and glorify the God of Israel? See, to welcome Christ is to make him Lord of your whole life. Your time, your relationship, your talents, your business, your home, your marriage, but he must always come first. You see, the Lordship of Christ means that our lives are at his disposal. When this is done, we will understand Christ's adequacy and authority, but something else will be added to the dimension of our Christian life, and it will be this, that Christ will be available for every situation. I thought of that man as he wept over the phone this week. My 15-year-old daughter is torn asunder. What am I going to do? And I had prepared this message 2 weeks ago. And I thought about Christ's adequacy. And I thought of Christ's authority. But I also thought of Christ's availability. And Christ's availability will only be ours when the adequacy of Christ and the authority of Christ is acknowledged in the Lordship of Christ.
Now, beloved, 1990 is going to be a rough year in preaching, because it's going to be a year when the Word of God has to be proclaimed and proclaimed with authority from this pulpit. And it will be. You do not have to deal with Ron Baker. You have to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the Holy Scripture, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It speaks to us directly. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and makes them known. And he knows the guilt and the sin like he knew the sin and the guilt of the Jews with the people. Oh, our Father, it's not the sin of the demoniac that breaks his heart in the church. It's the sin of professing Christians being willful. We pray today that the Spirit of God will so convict us. Will come to Christ in complete brokenness. We're going to sing a closing hymn today. It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus go with me, I'll go anywhere. Sing it to you down on the farm one day, BJ. Beautiful hymn, that. Father, we thank you for the goodness of yourself. We thank you for the preciousness of this service today. We pray for Lynn and Vern in a very special way. Father, it's not as though they're going from us, but they're going in obedience to you to do what you want them to do. And when they come back to visit us, we will be just so thrilled to see them. Father, we just pray that you'll bless us. Bless us all now, and may your grace and your mercy and your peace be with us now and always. Amen. Time of quiet meditation, time of fellowship, a cup of tea. Don't forget the prayer meeting, 5:00. So I trust that you can come to share in the evening service.